This is our State Capitol Report, our weekly roundup of the latest state political news and a preview of issues likely to be making headlines this week. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, October 15th. And as he almost always does, Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter, Sean Johnson, is with us in this half hour. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
And also we have an added bonus. As Wisconsin Public Radio's La Crosse-based reporter, Maureen McCullum, also joins us. She has a report on Vice President Joe Biden visiting La Crosse on Friday and a preview of her state voters series that starts this week. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, let's start with Vice President Biden. He came to Wisconsin right on the heels of the vice presidential debate. Was he in good spirits?
He was, and I would say that the crowd was just feeding off of his energy. He packed into a hall on the University of La Crosse campus. There were about 2,000 people in the room, and they even had the overflow room was at capacity. His energy was carrying over from the debate the night before. He talked about tax policy. He talked about ending the war in Afghanistan. But what really got the crowd excited was when he talked about women's issues. He talked about his abortion rights stance, saying that it's up to a woman and her doctor. And he talked about the Lilly Ledbetter law, saying that women deserve equal pay. He talked about his own daughters and President Obama's daughters. And that seemed to get the biggest reaction from the crowd.
Yeah, I think we have a clip of him talking about those issues. Let's take a listen.
The next president is likely to almost surely have one and probably two Supreme Court appointees. Roe v. Wade is hanging. Do you think they're possibly going to appoint two justices of the court who aren't going to join Scalia and others to overrule Roe v. Wade? Ladies and gentlemen, the single most consequential decision a president makes other than going to war is the appointment of the Supreme Court, because those appointments live on long after any president's gone.
Yeah. So, and you say that he also, he talked about tax policy. What did he have to say about that?
Well, essentially, he spent the time comparing himself to vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan, saying that President Obama and Vice President Biden have cut taxes to the middle class. They'll continue cutting taxes to the middle class. They questioned if a Romney-Ryan presidency would be able to do the same. He said that the rich should be able to contribute more to taxes so that things remain fair for the middle class. He also obviously brought up the 47%, and when I talked with people afterwards, that seemed to be something that resonated with a lot of people. People were very happy that Biden not only talked about the 47% issue at this rally, but they were very happy he brought it up in the debate, because a handful of people said they felt like they were the 47% and they felt insulted by that comment from Governor Romney when he made that.
Let's take a listen to Joe Biden talking about that.
And I've never seen two candidates for the highest office in the land who are more negative about this country and its prospects than the people we're running against. All you hear from them is talk about a culture of dependency, America in decline. You know, I don't recognize the country they talk about. I really don't. Not where I come from, not where you come from. I don't see Americans who think they are dependent. I see Americans who are looking for nothing more than a shot. They're not even looking for a handout. They're just looking for a shot, a level playing field. How could these guys have such a profound misunderstanding of the people of this country? The American people are so much better, so much stronger, so much more responsible than these guys give them credit for. And I've got news for Governor Romney and Congressman Ryan. America is neither dependent nor is it in decline.
All right.
And if they get out of the way,
If they'd get out of the way with these policies out of the 50s, we'd be racing back. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I interrupted. I didn't mean to do that. Maureen did.
Oh, he just keeps going.
You know, did the crowd there have any problem with Joe Biden interrupting during the debate or being assertive during the debate or his smiling and laughing at some of the points that Congressman Ryan was making?
You know, most of the people I talked with afterwards, I could only find supporters. I heard there were college Republicans in the audience, but I couldn't find them afterwards. But when I asked people about that, they said they liked it. They said it showed confidence. It showed his personality. And most of the people said they really like Biden's sort of almost laid-back personality. You know, people felt like he was approachable. There was actually, I think it was Biden's only stop was in La Crosse on Friday. So there were a number of people who were able to get pictures with him afterwards and meet him. You don't know how many women I came across who were just blushing because they got kisses on the cheek from him. So I think people like his personality and they enjoy that.
That's funny. Well, you've been very busy because you covered the vice president's visit to La Crosse. And then you were on the road because you're doing a week-long series featuring Wisconsin voters, and I think installment number one is coming up at 7:30. We will hear you in Janesville. Is that right?
That's correct. WPR Leicester fellow Lindsay Moon and I will be traveling from Janesville up to Lac des Flambeaux, essentially up Route 51, just talking with voters about basically what's driving them to the polls. So yesterday, we went to a mall in Janesville, and we also went to a farmer's market. And, you know, in Janesville, you hear a lot about the jobs and the economy. So we heard from people talking about that. Actually, we heard a lot more about people being concerned about health care, Medicare, Medicaid, and sort of the future of those programs if Romney and Ryan are elected. It's going to be interesting to see if it's sort of the same themes everywhere we go. We're trying to stop in different towns every single day. Like today we're going to be in Sun Prairie, so a suburb of Madison. And then we move on to Westfield, which is a rural town just south of Wausau. Then Merrill, which is a farming community. And then up to Lac des Flambeaux, where there is a large Native American population. So,
hey, if my geography's right, you're taking Highway 51 for the most part all the way up.
Correct, yeah.
There we go. Well, have a successful week and a safe one traveling. We will hear the Janesville report coming up at 7:30, and every week or every day this week we will hear the installments. Sun Prairie tomorrow, Westfield on Wednesday, Merrill on Thursday, and Lac des Flambeaux on Friday. Maureen, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Joy.
Maureen McCollum, Wisconsin Public Radio reporter based in La Crosse. And Sean Johnson is here, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. Sean, we just heard about Vice President Biden's trip to La Crosse on Friday. Gosh, I think that was his second or third trip so far this campaign season to Wisconsin. We have also a vice presidential candidate, Paul Ryan, in Waukesha today.
Yeah, and you heard that previewed by Chuck Kornbach in the newscast, and I think Chuck is probably at the Paul Ryan event right now as Ryan is scheduled to speak around 8 or 8:30 or so this morning. You know, it seems to be that they want to get Wisconsin's electoral votes, and Paul Ryan, having his, you know, having this be his home base, it's natural for him to be campaigning here. We haven't seen much of Mitt Romney. I don't think we've seen him since we saw him shortly after Paul Ryan was picked as his running mate. But aside from that, aside from a stop during the primary earlier this year, he hasn't made a presence here. But Paul Ryan certainly has.
Well, we'll hear more of Chuck's reporting on that, I'm sure, later today on the Ideas Network. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, and we'll talk about some other developments in state politics coming up in just a minute. It's going to become a mostly sunny day today. It's going to be on the cool side statewide with highs today in the 50s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter. We will be talking with a guest from the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin coming up after 7:30. They are trying to get you to consider being an Election Day observer. We'll talk about what that's all about coming up after 7:30. So, Sean, we had lots of news occur last week, including one of Governor Walker's aides, before he was governor, did plead guilty to a felony and accepted a plea bargain, right?
Yeah, Kelly Rheinfleisch's trial was scheduled to begin this week, and so you knew that if there was going to be a deal, it had to be coming soon, and lo and behold, they reached one last week. Kelly Rheinfleisch and her attorney reached one with the Milwaukee County District Attorney in the John Doe investigation over there. She was the governor's deputy chief of staff when he was Milwaukee County executive, and she was charged with using her job as Milwaukee County employee to do campaign fundraising. In this case, it was for Lieutenant Governor candidate Brett Davis. But the criminal complaint against Rheinfleisch detailed hundreds of emails that she sent with members of the governor's campaign. It was a lengthy complaint. She reached a deal with prosecutors and Milwaukee County Assistant District Attorney Bruce Landgraf, who's been taking the lead on this John Doe investigation, talked to media afterward, and he was asked what message it sends.
It sends the message that campaign fundraising in a government building on government time is a Class I felony, and it will be vigorously prosecuted under any circumstances, whether a Democrat or a Republican is involved.
So you've got a deal now?
That means that Governor Walker is not going to be testifying as
right.
He was subpoenaed to do in her trial.
Yeah, he was listed as a potential witness by Landgraf, and actually he withdrew that subpoena and then was subpoenaed by Kelly Rheinfleisch's defense attorney to testify. So had there been no deal, that was something we would be talking about right now, is the possibility of the governor testifying in a Milwaukee County courtroom. That's not going to happen. And really, the whole deal with Rheinfleisch, had a lot of people asking, where's this investigation going? Sometimes in investigations like these, you get people that are, lower down the food chain and kind of work your way up. But in terms of how the investigation relates to Governor Walker, Assistant District Attorney Bruce Landgraf, said this investigation really didn't.
I mean, I released him from my subpoena. This case was never about Governor Scott Walker. It was always about Kelly Rheinfleisch, and it was always about what she did in the county courthouse regarding fundraising activities.
So, for him to say this investigation was never about Scott Walker, I mean, that's significant to come from an assistant district attorney's mouth. You got to remember in this complaint, they didn't need to do this, but they put in the complaint that Kelly Rheinfleisch's office was 25 feet from then county executive Scott Walker's, and so it was obviously brought up a lot in the recall campaign.
And there was a lot of speculation that Kelly Rheinfleisch might have the goods, so to speak, on Governor Walker. If this deal has been reached, that means there are no goods to be had?
Well, sometimes you reach a deal, and part of that deal is you cooperate with an ongoing investigation. There's nothing explicit in this deal that says she has to do that. There's nothing in writing that says you will cooperate with this ongoing John Doe. She was the deal that she reached does charge her with one felony. She was she had to plead guilty to one felony. She was charged with four originally. They carry a maximum of 3.5 years in prison. Sentencing, prosecutors are recommending jail time, but that will be up to a judge. There's a couple schools of thought on this. I mean, one attorney I talked to said that just because it's not in the deal doesn't mean there's not an incentive for her to cooperate with any other ongoing investigations because she hasn't been sentenced yet. That if you cooperate, that sends a solid message to the judge. But the other school of thought is if it's not in the deal, they're not looking for it. And you heard Bruce Landgraf there say that I urge you to read the plea agreement is basically what he kept telling reporters. She is one element of this John Doe investigation. I mean, the governor may yet testify in this investigation. Former aide Tim Russell is scheduled to be on trial later this year. He's charged with embezzling funds that were set aside for veterans charity. So it's not like the John Doe investigation ends here by any means, but the Kelly Reinfleisch portion of it, you know, seems like it does.
I know last week, Sean, you covered, before last week's State Capitol Report, a forum about the political control of the state Senate. There was a similar forum in this past week on political control of the state assembly.
Yeah, and I guess the major themes that you heard there from the two sides being represented by Assembly Republican Robin Voss, who's leading the campaign effort for the Assembly GOP, and Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Peter Barca. For Republicans, as Voss said, this is, you know, they're in good shape. They have 59 seats right now. You know, the 59 seat is a majority is pretty solid. They drew the map this last legislative session, so they essentially set the playing field, making it very hard for Democrats to retake that majority. And, you know, beyond that, Voss says they have, they kind of know where they are in the, you know, the electoral pendulum right now, because they just had an election a few months ago where Governor Scott Walker did very well.
He carried 65 of the 99 assembly districts in the recall. Now, I'm not saying that is going to translate into the results that we have on November 6th, but I certainly think it's a good indicator that just 6 months after the recall happened, I can't see the state of Wisconsin making a dramatic lurch to the left.
And Peter Barca, the Assembly Democratic Minority Leader, says big things going in Democrats' favor is that this is a presidential election, and Democrats tend to come out in strong numbers for presidential elections. He likes the top of the ticket. He feels like because Republicans had such success in 2010 with that Republican wave, they have a lot of ground to defend right now, some people holding seats that Barca says they shouldn't. And so he thinks that means that Democrats are going to pick up seats in November.
I think you're going to see a huge turnout. And where Republicans have a little bit of an advantage sometimes in off election years, because their voters are a little bit more loyal coming out every time, Democrats at least every 4 years come out in droves. And I think this year you're going to see that totally be the case.
And they spoke at a West Politics Forum. They're always asked at these forums, how many seats are you going to have? Voss said between 57 and 59, and Barca said 44 to 50. You know, a pretty big gulf between those.
We shall see. There is one assembly seat. I wonder, let's talk a little bit about the Roger Rivard assembly seat and his controversial comments that he made recently.
And that's one the Democrats feel like may be in play now because of those comments. And Roger Rivard was actually quoted by his newspaper, a newspaper in his district, last December, I believe. And he was talking about a case involving a 17-year-old high school senior charged with sexual assault for having sex with an underage girl. And in this article, where he used the phrase, some girls rape easy. And he was called by the Journal Sentinel, asked to explain, you know, what did you mean by that? Basically, goes through his explanation of, you know, stuff that his dad told him when he was young, how consensual sex can turn into rape in an awful hurry, and he comes back to that phrase again. Republicans everywhere read this, and they start jumping ship. I mean, Paul Ryan, a vice presidential candidate, had endorsed Roger Rivard, pulls that endorsement. Tommy Thompson, U.S. Senate candidate from Wisconsin, you know, says that outrageous comments by Rivard, they, you know, outrageous was used by a lot of Republicans that day. Governor Scott Walker pulls his support. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson pulls his support. And so, you know, at noon on the day that all this is coming out, Robin Voss, who we just heard from there at that same forum, he was asked, how is this going to affect the Roger Rivard race? And here's what he said at around noon that day.
When I went back and read his remarks, and he talked about how rape is horrible, that we have done everything possible to ensure that people who commit those kind of crimes go to jail for a very long time. I have no doubt whatsoever that when the people look at Roger's entire record, not a single sentence, that they will return him to Madison because he has been doing the things that they want here at the Capitol.
So a few hours later, though, by 5 o'clock, he had sent out a statement. His campaign had sent out a statement to his politics, and others saying, I cannot stand by Roger Rivard in more explicit terms there. So, you know, even the head of the assembly campaign effort sounded somewhat supportive of him there. He, you know, condemned the words, but said that I think the voters will stand by him. By later that afternoon, he said, I can't stand by Roger Rivard.
So there's a chance that that particular district could flip to Democrat?
Statements like that, Democrats feel like that puts it in play for them. It may not have been otherwise.
Well, let's almost out of time here. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a U.S. Senate candidate debate this week. Anything else new with that race?
Over the weekend, actually yesterday's BuzzFeed, I believe, was the first one to post it. There was video of Tommy Thompson's son saying, see, I probably want to get this quote exactly right here, saying, you know, we have the opportunity to send President Obama back to Chicago or Kenya, he says, and as an aside, and gets the laughter from the crowd. And so, that's something that Democrats have seized on. The Thompson campaign came out and said that Tommy Thompson has, since talked to his son, and it was a mistake.
The governor said that in a campaign statement. Jason Thompson said something he should not have, and he apologizes.
Right.
Less than a minute to go. Anything big happening this week, Sean?
You got Paul Ryan in Wisconsin today. It could be interesting, an audit committee later this week on the state's economic development agency, WEDIC, which has had all sorts of problems with the federal agencies that work with it. So we'll see what happens there.
I love it, Sean, that you find the audit committee interesting.
I know, yeah.
Just
stay tuned, right?
Yeah, well, I hope we will have reports on those items next week on the State Capitol Report. Thanks very much,
Sean.
Thanks. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio, state government reporter. We'll check news and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network.